Good morning, everyone. I'd like to read to you something which I've never preached on before or never formed part of a message I've given before, from Ecclesiastes 3, verses 1 through to 14. There is a time for everything and a season for every activity under the heavens, a time to be born and a time to die, a time to plant and a time to uproot, a time to kill and a time to heal, a time to tear down and a time to build, a time to weep and a time to laugh, a time to mourn and a time to dance, a time to scatter stones and a time to gather them, a time to embrace and a time to refrain from embracing, a time to search and a time to give up, a time to keep and a time to throw away, a time to tear and a time to mend, a time to be silent and a time to speak, a time to love and a time to hate, a time for war and a time for peace. What do workers gain from their toil? I have seen the burden God has laid on the human race. He has made everything beautiful in its time. He has also set eternity in the heart of human. Yet no one can fathom what God has done from beginning to end. I know that there is nothing better for people than to be happy and to do good while they live, that each of them may eat and drink and find satisfaction in all their toil. This is the gift of God. I know that everything God does will endure forever. Nothing can be added to it and nothing taken from it. God does it so that people will fear him. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. At times, Lord, we don't fully understand how much that you care for each one of us and what you provide for us. But Lord, you just give us your Son to cover our iniquities, to make us free, to set us free, so that we can come to you with our petitions and prayers under his coverings, under his righteousness, because we have none of our own. So Lord, I just ask that you take my lips and let them be your lips. Take everything that I might have put down here which isn't of you away, because we don't want to hear from Jerry Kelly this morning, we want to hear from you. So Lord, just bless me as I seek to deliver your word. Give me the strength to fight against this throat of mine. Lord, just take it away, blow it away, and just give me your peace, for I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. When we think about the passage we've just read from Ecclesiastes, it must be obvious what an awesome God we have. When we consider the rich variety of foods that's provided, or should I say, that he provides by his grace and favour, it's almost impossible to quantify the many varieties of crops throughout the world that farmers are growing. And you know, we've got, as the years have gone past, from when I was a child, I never knew what curry was apart from Vesta curry. And if anybody remembers that, it's nothing like curry, you know. But the world's become more enriched, I think, by travel, by people coming here and bringing different foodstuffs. If, for the flavour, I'm just talking about the flavour, not about spiritual. This is just about satisfying the food, the stomach. And it's lovely. Some of the varieties, some of the stuff I haven't even tried yet, but I might try them sometime, but I don't know. I'm a bit plain, me. I like me sausage and mash, you know, and me steak and chips, that type of thing. But there's so much out there that we can have. And then, of course, there's all the different animals as well, the birds, the fish, the seafood, all of which add to the scale of the harvest that we can draw upon to sustain us in the physical sense. I've entitled this morning's message, The Lord of the Harvest, because without the Lord's provision, things would be very different. When you look at some parts of the world where famine is rife, you can say, well, why isn't the Lord providing there? I don't know. But he knows why. And we've just got to trust him. Last Sunday, Rob very generously brought some figs that he had harvested. And he offered it to those who enjoy figs after the service. I don't like figs, but the thought was nice. And it was the Lord who actually got those figs to grow, because I'm sure Rob's not a very good gardener, you know. He thinks he is, but he's not. The Lord is the gardener. The Lord is the Lord of the harvest. You only have to drive around our roads at this time of year to find yourself stuck behind a tractor and trailer or a combine harvester. So it's obvious what's going on. Farmers are out in their fields, as Ian Lawson is most days now, trying to bring in the harvest which they've planted. Some will have planted barley, some will have wheat, some will have corn. Doesn't matter what they planted, they're going to get a harvest from it. Hopefully, as long as the Lord has made the provision of the gentle rain, as we've read and sung about, and all things bright and beautiful. But we depend so much on his provision for everything in life. Nothing is easy. The variety and size of the harvest depends purely on such details as the size of the farm, what amount of land he's got, and what is suitable for growing. Yeah, because, and they've got to rotate their crops as well, because certain crops take all the nutrients out of the soil, and if you were to plant it year after year after year, the crop would just get degraded further and further until it wouldn't be worth eating. But it is important, the choice of crop that they do, because, as I say, it depends on what they need to grow. But once they've planted it, that's not the end of it. They need to care for the stuff that they've planted. It might need to be watered if there's no rain in season. It might need fertilizer to help it grow, or pesticide if there are loads of pests. That's funny the way you call it pesticide, isn't it? It's to deal with pests. You know, I put down, or bugs, you know, a lot of bugs, or unwanted insects. But insects aren't all unwanted, are they? Because without insects, we wouldn't have a harvest at all. We're swatting all sorts of flies and bees and all that because they annoy us. But without them, we would starve, because who's going to pollinate the fruit? And all things that grow produce fruit. After flowering, they normally flower first and then goes into fruit. For those of us who are not farmers or gardeners, it's easy for us to take food for granted and where it comes from. Well, I know where it comes from. We go to Asda's every week, or Tesco's, or Summerfield's, or other superstores, just in case I get picked up for advertising. Now, the quality of food that's harvested is very important, because if everybody was planting the same food, there'd be a glut, and nobody would buy it, so we'd get a lot of waste. And the farmers, it would impact on the farmers' livelihood, and it would impact on them in two ways. One, they wouldn't be able to sell the produce to get their income back. Then they wouldn't have money to invest in the next harvest. And gradually, there would be a shortage in the shops, and everyone would be affected, because what there was still available would be up, inflated in value, and we would have to pay more dearly for it. Now, harvest time is very important to our physical well-being. Of that, there can be no doubt. But that's not what I want to talk about this morning. I want to talk about a more important harvest. I want to talk about one harvest that we need to be prepared for, and that's a spiritual harvest. And just like the farmer needs to have all the equipment he needs and the tools he needs to bring in the harvest, we need to equip ourselves as Christians to be able to answer the questions of people who have got questions concerning the Lord in a way that they can relate to, and it can feed them and help them to grow, because that is important. If we can't do that, how can we introduce the Lord to anyone? So it's important. And the harvest I want to talk about is a spiritual one. But let's look what the Lord of the harvest has to say as we read from Matthew 9:35-38. Jesus went through all the towns and villages, teaching in their synagogues, proclaiming the good news of the kingdom and healing every disease and sickness. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them because they were harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, "The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into the harvest field." Then again, if we look at Luke 10, verse 2, we read, this is Jesus again. He told them, "The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out the workers into the harvest fields." You notice that's the same verse, the same direction, same instruction from our Lord, from the Lord of the harvest. And I believe if the Lord says something once in Scripture, it's important. But if he says it more than once, then we really need to take notice of it. In 2 Corinthians 9:10, we are told, "Now he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will also supply and increase your store of seed and will enlarge the harvest of your righteousness." In this verse, Paul is explaining to the Corinthian church that their generosity will provide a healthy harvest and help the church grow, not just in Corinth, but throughout the kingdom, God's kingdom. In Galatians 6:9, we read, "Let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up." Here Paul reminds us that rewards are certain, even if they're not immediate. He reminds them and us that you do not harvest a field the day after the seed is planted. The spiritual realm, the rewards surely follow faithful sowing in due season. It will produce fruit in God's good time, in his perfect timing. All things that he does, he has set in place, and he's got a time for it. Lorraine told us about our father being in hospital and the way the operation they needed for a pacemaker was delayed. But it was delayed and nobody could understand. I'm sure it was frustrating for Ken at that time. But then on the couple of days later, it was the top surgeon, the top man who knew exactly what he was doing to the best. I'm not saying the others didn't, but he was the best man. And that was the Lord's provision. And I know because we are Christians, Lorraine's Christians, Ken's a Christian, our mum's a Christian, we all recognize that God does everything in his time for our benefit. So we've just got to trust him for that. Now, that's easier said than done. And if we look at Hebrews 12, verse 11, we are told, "No discipline seems pleasant at the time, but painful. Later on, however, it produces a harvest of righteousness and peace for those who have been trained by it." You know, that's what's wrong with our world today, I think. In schools, people are on about, "What's up with the children? You know, why are they bringing knives into schools? Why are they being so disgruntled?" Because they've taken the God out of the schools. You don't have assemblies anymore. You don't get God in the schools. You can talk about anything you want in schools. diversity is the big thing at the minute, which I'm not going to go into. You'd be glad to hear. But we need to get God back in the picture before anything is going to improve in this country or in the world for that matter. Our Heavenly Father only disciplines us to shape us. And he wants to shape us into the likeness of his Son, as Scripture tells us. He wants to help us to prosper and to reap the rewards that he has for us. But he wants us to bring in the harvest that he is tending for. He's tending for us. We are part of that harvest. James 3 and 18 reads, "Peacemakers who sow in peace reap a harvest of righteousness." In this verse, James reminds us that the peacemaker is wise, just like the farmer. Now, the climate is peace, and the harvest is righteousness. He points out that if we hope to reap a harvest of righteousness, then it cannot be done in an atmosphere of quarreling and bickering. The sowing of spiritual seed can only succeed in peaceful conditions. We've got to be gentle. The best book in the Bible for telling us what the fruit of the Spirit is Galatians. Galatians 5, 22 to 26. "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking, and envying each other." Now, it's important to note that in that scripture, that fruit is singular, not plural. It's not the fruits of the Spirit, it's the fruit of the Spirit. The Holy Spirit only produces one kind of fruit, and all of those fruit demonstrate the virtues of our Lord Jesus Christ. And they're the virtues that our Heavenly Father would like us to possess, and that we would like to possess, and we strive to possess, but we never quite achieve it all. We can do it for a while, and then we all fall. As we know, we all fall. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. But we've got to go back to the Father and ask him to forgive us, and he will help us back to our feet and get us back in the race. And it is a good race for him, as Paul will tell you. Now, love. I'm just going to take all of the fruit. Love is. What is love? God is love. Scripture tells us God is love. Joy. Jesus' joy was fulfilling the Father's will. Peace. His harmonious relationship with the Father. He never done anything without consulting the Father. He went off and prayed, met with the Father in prayer, and he gave all of his anxieties and his worries over to the Father. If you remember in the Garden of Gethsemane, he said, "Not my will, but thine be done." You know, and there's times when we've got to do that as well. There are times when the Lord wants us to do things that we don't want to do. And we've got a choice, but you'll not get the blessing unless you're obedient, as Jesus was obedient to the Father. Forbearance. Well, if you can put in long sufferance, patience in all situations, that's what forbearance is. And Jesus had that in abundance. Do we? I don't think so. Now and again, for short periods, yes, but not all the time. Kindness, gentleness. I'm sure we can be kind at times and we can be gentle, but we can also be very cruel, can't we? That wasn't in Jesus' nature. So that's why I say all of the fruit represent Jesus, not necessarily us, although that's what we should be striving to obtain. Faithfulness, his absolute trust in the Father. How many times do we not trust the Father? I'm guilty. There are times when I'm told something to do, I know I'm doing wrong, but I do it anyway. As Paul says in some of his, he knows what he should be doing, in what the heart's telling them to do, in what the spirit's telling them to do, but he does the other. And we are all guilty of that. But he loves us anyway. Gentleness, his gentleness, is best displayed in his own words. He called himself the servant king. He came to serve, not to be served. That is what you call gentleness. Self-control. Self-control is simple. It's not giving in to your sinful nature. That's what self-control is spiritually. But again, how many times do we give in to our sinful nature? It can be simple things. But above all of the above things are foreign to our human nature. They're hard for us to really obtain and to hold on to and retain. Yeah. In our own strength, we can do nothing. But with his strength, we can succeed more often than we'll fail. But we've got to keep on, keeping on. It's not a once and for all time deal. It's important that as Christians, we obey all of the instructions of Scripture. But I think as the time's drawing closer and closer to the Lord's return, it's more important and we should put more urgency into obeying Jesus' command, the Great Commission, which can be found in Matthew's Gospel 28. I'm going to read two verses, 19 to 20, which are instructions. There's no two way about it. It's not if you've got time, do this. You know, if you feel like it, do this. This is what, if you've accepted the Lord Jesus as your Lord and Savior, this is what you've got to do. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. It's straightforward there, isn't it? And surely I am with you to the very end of the age. He's not asking us to do anything on our own. He's not asking us to do anything on our own power. Everything we have comes from him. He is the provider. He is the Lord of the harvest. And everything that we have comes from his harvest that he gives us. Whether it's our families, we are all blessed with families. Some people think, well, not really, especially when the kids are being a wee bit uppity at times. It doesn't feel like much of a blessing, you know. But when you come through that, it's like the fruit and anything that's planted in the field, it doesn't just happen the day after it's planted. It's got to mature. So have our children. We've got to mature. And they go through the things that we went through. Can you remember how rebellious you were when you were a teenager or a young person, you know? I know what I was. I was a devil. Well, not quite, but I wasn't very good, you know. But with time and with love and with God, everything can mature into the likeness of his Son. We'll never be perfect until that day when we are called to our final resting place. And that's when we will know it all. We'll know how much he loves us, how much he's done for us. When I look back on my life now, I can see where the Lord's hand's been on my life, where he's opened doors to prosper me, where he's closed doors to stop me from being an idiot and putting myself in danger. And it's wisdom, but it's fruit of the harvest, because the harvest of the Lord has planted that seed in me, and he's still growing that seed. And I'm still growing. It doesn't look like it, like, you know, I'm growing bald, but I'm still growing. It's important that we comply with all of the above. We know that our Lord will be returning, but we don't know when. So there is no time to lose. Jesus, our Lord, himself will receive a message from his Father. As we can read in Revelation 14 and verse 15, then another angel came out of the temple and called in a loud voice to him who was sitting on the cloud, Take your sickle and reap, because the time to reap has come, for the harvest of the earth is ripe." That's a frightening thought, if we haven't done all that was in our power to fulfill the command of the Great Commission. Because once that declaration is made, it's too late to introduce anyone to the Lord. That is the final call for the harvest. And because the harvest is ripe, doesn't mean to say that it's all mature. When a farmer's out in the field bringing in the harvest, there's some of the grain may not have been in a damp patch and got a lot of feed and swold and be nice heads on it. Others will be in dry spots where and get weeds in it, which there's no fruit, no seeds on it. So that's what the last harvest is going to be like as well. The harvest is ripe, but not all of the fruit is going to be edible or usable or acceptable to the Lord. And that fruit will be lost, separation from the Lord forever. Then it will be too late, as I said, to introduce anyone to Jesus. So we need to take every opportunity that we have in the time that we've got left. And some of us have got more than others, I know, but none of us know how much time, because the Lord could come like that. Scripture tells you in a twinkling of an eye, and then we will all be changed. Those that know the Lord will be changed into his likeness. And we say, "Come, Lord Jesus, come." But we need to take every opportunity we can to plant the seed of salvation. And we need to do it now. As I say, we can't put it off till tomorrow, because we all know tomorrow never comes. Just ask my wife. I keep saying I'll do it tomorrow. And there's things which I still haven't done. But you know, we've got a wonderful God, and we've got a wonderful Lord of the harvest. And all we've got to do is to be willing workers for him, and he will supply all our needs. We all know that he doesn't pick those people who are qualified for anything and equipped to do great work. He calls you, and then he'll equip you for what he calls you to do. So don't ever be afraid. If you feel the Lord is asking you to do something, don't be afraid and let Satan tell you, "Wait, you're not going to be any good at that. You're not going to be fit for that." People will laugh at you. That's, as we heard from Rob this morning, the father of all lies, trying to get in there and to rob you of your peace and the blessings which the Lord has got for you. So I urge you strongly to just trust in the Lord and don't despair, as a good old song goes. He is a friend so true, and no matter what your troubles are, Jesus will see you through. And that goes for whatever he asks you to do. He will be there with you, hand in hand. He will not ask you to do it on your own. But what does he tell you in Scripture? "My yoke is easy, my burden is light." And he'll be there with you, side by side, hand by hand in hand. So, all I can say is, be true to him, because he's always true to us. So let's pray. Dear Lord and Heavenly Father, we thank you that you are the Lord of the harvest. You know everything that this world needs. And Lord, you give us more than what we need. When we look at the world out there and creation, the things that you put on, things for our pleasure, things for us to enjoy, which aren't necessary, really. But you enjoy to see your people happy, and you give us such wonderful things. But Lord, the greatest gift you gave us was your Son, Jesus. And Jesus, we want to thank you that you were obedient to the Father and willing to go to that terrible death on the cross, so that each one of us here could come and accept you as our Lord and Savior and claim your righteousness to come before the Father with our prayers and petitions. Heavenly Father, we just ask that you just feed the seeds that you planted in each one of us. Keep watering them by the power of the Holy Spirit, and bring us into maturity where we are ready for that harvest when you decide it's going to be, so that we'll have no fear whenever that trumpet goes and the sickle comes out to bring in that great final harvest. We say, come, Lord Jesus, come, because this world is only a place we were traveling through. We want to be where you are. So come, Lord Jesus, come. Amen.